This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Okay, Mavs game night. We do have the Lakers in town. It's one of the top stories around the country, and the morning news picked up something that was Mavs content yesterday with the KNC masterpiece. Morning News made a headline out of it with Brian Scalabrine joining KNC to talk some Mavs and talk Luka. We'll give you a highlight of that. And then we'll get into the other stories of the day that have been breaking around the world of sports. General at your service. See me, bear me. N.A., that Heineken 0.0, that'd come in handy right about now. Jeff Cavanaugh, Mike Bassick, Lucius Alexander, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It is a football Friday, but like it has happened on multiple occasions this football season, the Mavs are taking top billing. Yeah, Scalabrine said, if Giannis leaves Milwaukee, he should come to the Dallas Mavericks. And it's been a fun point of conversation.
I agree.
Right? It's just
good point by Scalabrine.
Yeah. And it's gone viral across the NBA blogs as well. I didn't know Scalabrine was that influential, but I guess he's become a media member. And I can totally see this, right? I think a player will leave Milwaukee, no doubt about it. You know, it's just, it doesn't offer enough. It's cold. It's very blue collar. It's not a great place to party. There's just reason after reason. Then the small market. And I think with the Mavs, there's got to be some appeal, especially from European players. You kind of have an opportunity to be the first really totally European-dominated team. I mean, sure, the Spurs kind of counted, but Tim Duncan was essentially American, right, from the Bahamas.
Yeah, if you go, you kind of go to Wake Forest and stuff, yeah, like that, it kind of starts putting you in that category.
But I think it'd be cool if I was European, this thing of, and then you start talking about the marketing power of taking this over into Europe and putting it on TVs. Like, your agent would be like, dude, this might blow up. Could we imagine if there was the first NBA dynasty that was taking over that was all European? There's just tons of business reasons, playing style, culture reasons that it could make sense. So, you know, I'm not going to get off and start building up and doing a countdown to it or anything. But right now, looking off into the future, I think there is a better probability of this happening than the Dwight Howard or Chris Paul pipe dreams that,
okay,
we went through.
I hear you. Now I'm going to put you in charge of the Dallas Mavericks, whether you're Mark Cuban or Donnie Nelson, but you're both of those guys combined right now. If there's a move that you like that is either right now or in the offseason, but you know it puts you in a position where it'd be very tough. You'd have to work a whole bunch of moves to try to get the money available for the Greek Freak, because you've just added, just going back to my topic, let's just say you added Aaron Gordon and 2 years from now he's going to make $16 million. That's not a lot of money, but that's very tough now,
yeah,
to start trying to figure out how to get Giannis on the team. Would you still make those moves, or would you hold off and say, you know what, for this 1% to 5% chance,
yeah,
I'm not going to make any moves and hope and pray that this actually does work?
I think my line is about Bradley Beal. You know, if it's for a guy that good,
okay,
I'm definitely going for it. You don't have to be like in the MVP conversation, but you have to be like significantly under 30. You defend and you shoot, right? And you're, okay, not going to try to dominate the basketball, right? So, yeah, for the right kind of player who's healthy, absolutely, I'm willing to do the deal now, because that would be a guarantee.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're young enough and you're not hurt all the time, then, you know, I know you said it'd be difficult to trade out of, but I'd think, okay, if the bleep hits the fan and we can actually get Giannis, then we could probably peel off with this player after a year or two.
I guess the great thing is, no matter what, you're going to have Luka on your team. And Luka,
yeah,
I think I'm with Kevin Hagelin here, is going to attract players that they're going to, for the first time ever, I think, and nothing against Dirk, it was just that when they started trying to attract free agents, he was older,
yeah,
is, and he never was Luka, is that I think players are going to, I got to go visit Dallas.
For sure.
I got it, because if Luka can make, and I won't name any players, so I won't offend any Maverick fan that thinks we have the greatest role players in the history of the NBA, because I kind of get that on Twitter at times, that if he can make those guys look that good at times and win with this group of guys, what could he do if he added me and some veteran guys who've been through some battles?
And that's the thing Dirk couldn't really offer, was if you come here, we'll be the best team. You know, because either they were over the cap for what seemed like forever from 2003 to 2011, right. Or he was over the hill.
Right.
You know, so I do agree that Luka being the point guard setting guys up, and I want to play with that and younger, but I think it's the ability to take a team over the top now that they're pitching more than come play with Luka.
And I truly believe this. Earlier on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text Talking Basketball, somebody said, look, you guys are trying to add a third star or whatever. Luka's a ball hog, and he'll never let anybody be successful on the court except for himself.
Oh.
Is, I would say this. I think, I don't know this, but I think watching Luka play in Real Madrid when I was watching the draft stuff and watching him play basketball, I think Luka would much rather average 22 to 25 points a game and average 12 to 14 assists than have to average 30 points a game and I know say only 9 assists.
Either way, it's fine with him.
He's looking at his teammates. He's trying his best to set them up as perfectly as he possibly can, and he literally is. He should be averaging a few more assists a game if he played on just a little bit more of a veteran team that had a little bit more of a presence to him. So I don't think that he is a super ball hog. I think he's smart enough. He's a genius, what Jerry West called him, that he looks at his teammates and go, at times, I can't pass to these guys. I have to score because I am the best scorer. But if he had somebody else that he felt like that guy can take over the game offensively, I'll just feed him and give him unbelievable looks for a while here.
Yeah, what was around Magic was Worthy, finisher, Kareem, finisher, Byron Scott, spot-up shooter, Michael Cooper, spot-up shooter. It's not that Luka's a ball hog so you can't get another good player. It's he's going to have a high usage, so don't put a ball hog with him.
Right.
You know, that would be, I think, the problem there. Okay, but yeah, Mavs Lakers tonight, 8:45 tip. No Anthony Davis for the fake show. No Porzingis for the Mavs. I do want to take another shot at acknowledging how cool it is that we're not having the conversation, are the Mavs better without Porzingis? Because sometimes your star player goes out like Kyrie Irving and the team gets better. And you have to talk about, hey, why are we better without the star player? If Porzingis had been forcing stuff, or if he was disengaged over this 30 games, we'd be sitting here going like, dang, got to trade Porzingis. Too bad he doesn't have any trade value because we're playing better without him. It sucks that he's hurt. It sucks that he might be injury prone. It sucks that he might get hurt again. But to me, this is massive evidence that Rick and Luka and the supporting cast and everybody who needs to has made some great decisions in execution with bringing him into the fold. And now as we approach the midway point of his first season, he is a really important piece to making this thing work. It sucks you're so dependent upon your top two players.
Yeah. Well, the Mavs miss him. And right now the Mavericks have two starting players. One is a top five player in the NBA. The other is a really good starting player in the NBA that used to be an all-star before he got hurt, and hopefully in 2020-21 season he can become an all-star again. And then you have guys that on most teams would be your 6th through your 11th guy. You have 9 of them who fit in the 6 through 11 category, and you're trying to figure out what 3, that's Rick's job every night, what 3 should I put on the court when Porzingis is healthy? Right now it's really tough, to your point, is I have to figure out 4 of my 6 through 11 men, I have 10 of them, which 4 am I going to pick out of the 10 that don't really fit the category of playing the last 5 minutes of an NBA basketball game? Yeah. Which 4 am I going to pick on the court with Luka tonight?
And coach is coaching his butt off to continue to put this team in a position to succeed. But it shouldn't be that hard. No, it should be very clear.
I was going to ask Lucius this. Lucius, on the Autoflex Leasing Fantex, I've seen this come by before and have heard this from the 682. Black players aren't coming here because they know the Mavs love white guys for their white fans. Is that something that
I've heard that too, man. Okay. Like, you know, being a Dallas fan, we've heard that our whole lives, right?
Yeah.
Because they go get the tallest white guy ever and say, hey, this is the guy we're going to build around. But I haven't seen any proof of black players saying, I don't want to go play in Dallas because of whatever reason. So I don't know.
Yeah. Is Luka surely is viewed as much cooler than Dirk, right?
Yeah, man. Luka came through with the Fresh Prince stuff.
Yeah, and like Luka doesn't mind standing toe to toe with you and jawing. And
absolutely not.
Like, he's a trash talker.
Yeah, and he put 30 up on that boy the other day. He said, look, I got 30 points, homie. What about it? Yeah, how about it?
Keep on talking.
Luka can be adopted. He can be adopted across racial lines.
Yeah, you know, I think he's a guy who's just a lot of fun to play with, and hey, money and winning talks. I think way more than some of that other stuff. I mean, But sure, you know, I do think that, you know, for a long time in this league, owners were careful to have enough white players on their team.
For sure.
You know, and that was just 25 years ago.
For sure.
And certainly we just had in Atlanta a couple of years ago, a GM get fired for saying stuff about we got to make sure that we're putting enough white players on the team to have white fans want to come to the game. So I don't think that's a concept or a topic that just could completely thrown away, because historically it's relevant and recently it's relevant. I just think for the majority of players, like, come on, there's cool places to go in every city. I don't think that, oh, Dallas is the white part of Texas, yeah, or, you know, or anything like that is weighing more heavily than could we win? Are the players on the team cool? Is the coach likable? And are they going to pay me more money than the other teams?
Yeah, I know. You guys, I think, handled that great. I just... before people are saying I'm complaining about the Mavs too, I like this Mavs team. I think most likely they're not going to make a trade in this next month, and they're going to roll with the guys they have. And I'm totally okay with that, because I don't want to make a major move and then really regret it and then have no assets or really lack ability to do things the next 2 years, because you decided 2020 right now was the year to just go after it. So yeah. I think that you have to let these younger players keep trying their best and see where they fit in the scheme of the NBA and this team, and then in the offseason really try to make some major moves.
No, you're right. Time's on your side, and you can be patient. You just don't want to let a good opportunity go, right? It's like we're waiting for the perfect one, but if that doesn't arrive, how close to perfect does it have to be to execute?
Yeah.
National championship game Monday night. What is the news there? Money is piling up on LSU, okay? The game's Monday night at 7 o'clock. Sportsbooks around the nation now have so much lopsided action, they couldn't make the point spread high enough to balance it. The spread's
20. Right? I think they could have found the balance there.
But I think right now they don't want to go any further, because they're happy with what they think is a public mistake. They took it up to 6.5, 7. The public continued to bet it and bet it and bet it, and now they're in a spot where LSU is favored by nearly a touchdown, and Jeff Davis, the risk director for Caesars Sportsbook, says, we're going to need Clemson for a whole pile. And he means it's a whole pile of money. But Vegas is willing to bet significantly on Clemson here by not moving that line anymore over the weekend.
I think it's going to be a really good game. I would pick LSU to win the game. But, gosh, I don't know. I mean, watching a week or so ago, I mean, LSU did dominate, and I know it was a team in OU that probably couldn't have played a good game against OSU or Clemson. But, you know, Clemson, you could look at that game and say they got pretty stinking lucky with some situations. And they, you know, I think if you're an Ohio State fan, you'd say this is a farce. Like, Clemson shouldn't be in this game. The refs kind of really helped them out. But at the same time, Clemson just won the national championship. They know how to win this game. LSU, this is the first time they've been in this game. So, we'll get to Monday when I maybe bet Jeff on this game.
Oh, I'll take the points.
I know. I'm waiting though. I'm kind of waiting till Monday to kind of feel, because right now I think I'm 50-50 on it, but just for it to be more fun for me, I like college football, but for me to really be engaged in it, I kind of just need $20 on it or $50 on it to be like, all right, this is the team I'm rooting for, because I have no rooting interest. I don't care about either team. So if I have $50 on it with Jeff, then I'll care about who wins.
I was interested when the point spread was first going to come out of who was the favorite. So when the number was 6, I was like, oh, yeah, I would take that. Clemson this year, look, they play in a bad conference, right? But still, over the course of the year, LSU led up 300 points. Clemson led up 160. Clemson scored 45 a game. LSU scored 48 a game. Clemson is the defending national champion. Trevor Lawrence is considered a generational talent at quarterback. Their running back averages 8 yards per carry. They've got 2 maybe first-round receivers on Clemson. They've got a top 10 pick on defense. Clemson is stacked, just like LSU is stacked. And, hey, maybe LSU beats them by multiple scores. But I was really surprised by that line, and I'd be happy to take the points.
The other big story from sports, Mookie Betts, 1 year, $27 million with the Red Sox, avoiding arbitration. Jeff Passan reporting that. breaks the arbitration record set by Nolan Arenado last offseason, which led to the negotiation of that $260 million 8-year contract.
I guess it'll be interesting next year if he breaks the record for highest paid baseball player in the history of the game.
He's that talented. Could do it, right?
I think so. And I think then it's going to get broke by Francisco Lindor the next year.
And then by Gallo.
Okay.
I tell you what, I hope Gallo is that good these next 2 to 3 years that we're talking about that.
Okay, Stephen Jones joined KNC. We'll give you highlights of that coming up in 5 minutes. But then in 15 minutes from right now, 5:30, Michael Irvin, the playmaker, steps in to tell us his thoughts on the week of news with the Cowboys here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. We're going to be joined by the playmaker, Michael Irvin, coming up here in 10 minutes. We're 10 minutes from Michael Irvin. I do believe Dan Brunoff from KRLD is going to join us here in just a second and make sure we're caught up on everything we need to know about the squall line, about possible tornadic activity, golf ball size hail, straight line winds, and freezing rain.
Okay, I would pay for if you would confront Brunoff.
On what?
On behalf of the meteorologist watchdogs of the country. Just okay. Be like, hey, are you being honest? Or are you fear-mongering?
Oh, you fear-mongering, trying to get people over to your station?
Yeah.
It's a big ratings day for weather people, and they will try to fear-monger on you. We'll try to get the real and inside story on that. Segment's brought to you by Fort Worth Community Credit Union. It's brought to you by state-of-the-art weight loss, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels, 214-333-3333, or jump online there to frankelfirm.com. Had Stephen Jones on The Fan earlier. He joined the KNC Masterpiece. Mike McCarthy was on with Sean and RJ, and you can go back on the radio.com app and listen to either of those. Jones was on at 12, and McCarthy was on there in the 8 o'clock segment there with Sean and RJ. Cut number 7 here, Lucius, on Stephen Jones. And the Mike McCarthy resume is very impressive. All those playoff appearances at one time, 9 out of 11 years he'd done it, the Super Bowl championship, the NFC championship games. How much does that matter to the players, you think, Stephen? Here he went.
Oh, I do. I think skins on the wall are huge. You know, when you've got a guy in front of you who's coached teams to Super Bowls, 3 championship game appearances, you know, those things are impressive. We all know how hard it is to win in this league. Dallas Cowboys in particular, we haven't gotten, in 20 plus years to a championship game. We obviously have been to a Super Bowl, but, you know, those things are impressive. We're very impressive to Jerry and myself, and it's got to be impressive to, you know, to our players that they do know the path. And, you know, sometimes it's not always the coaches. You know, it's not all on the coach, and we understand that. We'll be the first to take, our share of the criticism for our lack of appearances in big games. And we'll wear part of that. We'll wear part of that. I know, obviously, the coach is going to players. You know, you got to be able to take the next step to get there. Organizationally, we got to do it. But I think whenever you bring someone through the doors that have been there and done that, I know everybody, you know, had that feel when Bill Parcells came through the door. He had won Super Bowls. He had coached in big games. He was obviously, you know, a bigger-than-life type of personality.
And, yes, he was.
You know, we learned a lot from him. I think the players respected him. We didn't get it done. But, you know, that's one thing Jerry always points out. Just because you get a guy like that doesn't mean it's going to happen. But Bill gave us opportunities, and you have a few things bounce our way, and maybe things would have been different there with Coach Parcells as well. But I think anytime you're able to, whether you're a head coach, whether you're a quarterback, whether you're a great player, if you're wearing a Super Bowl ring, I think it brings a lot of respect. And you look at a guy like Troy Aikman, who led us to 3 Super Bowls. I think it just, brings another level of respect.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need that respect because the only rings now are on the owner's fingers. And maybe what, Randall Cobb? I don't know. Did he get one? Probably not. Probably not. He's probably too young. But the lack of appearances in big games, you have nobody in your organization that can inspire that kind of excitement. And you need somebody there in the coaching position that when he talks, guys get inspired. And even because they're naive, they don't know. Most of them are on rookie contracts. If they believe this guy knows the secrets to get to the Super Bowl, I think that raises your chances of inspiring a roster significantly. Joining us now here on KRLD-FM, here your sports station, is our sister station's meteorologist Dan Brunoff from News Radio 1080 KRLD, and he joins us in studio now. Good evening, sir. Thank you for coming on with us.
Hey, guys. It's great to be here. I love what y'all do. Keep going.
Thank you, sir. Love what you're doing as well. Can we get an update here at 525, the latest with the weather patterns and what's emerging here late in the afternoon?
Yeah, we sure can. Again, Dallas and Fort Worth, McKinney, Denton, all the way down to Cleburne, east towards Waxahachie, and then Rockwall down to Kaufman. That's kind of our main area that we hone in on at KRLD. And we've been in a tornado watch since earlier this afternoon. It runs until 9 o'clock this evening. And so far, so good. Haven't had any tornado warnings that have been in effect here for the immediate Dallas-Fort Worth area and surrounding counties. But again, there's a long line of showers and storms that has produced a lot of flooding out west of Denton, from Decatur and in south towards Springtown, Azel, Briar, Boyd area. Very rural, all the way up towards Gainesville. That's where 2 to 5 inches of rain has fallen. Got flood warnings there.
Wow.
I got a new severe thunderstorm warning just issued as we're talking, heading towards Cleburne there in Johnson County. That's south of Fort Worth, with hail and wind. But no tornadoes have been sighted or any damage anywhere across North Texas yet. But there's a long line of storms that stretches, goodness, all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma, through Gainesville, just west of Denton, west of Fort Worth, and off to the west of Cleburne, all the way down to the west of San Antonio, and it's now starting to move east. So I'm looking at traffic out there on Central Expressway. Things moving pretty quickly, and a lot of people have been allowed to leave early. Some of the schools even let out early, just for precautionary measures. We've been in a big 3-4 risk out of 5 for severe weather all day long and through 9 o'clock. And things are starting to ramp up. That line is starting to move east, so be careful.
Is there a chance that we can duck this thing in its entirety over the next couple of hours?
Of course. Tornadoes are the worst things that can do damage, as we all know, back on October 20th, about, 6 miles north of here, 15-mile stretch. We had that tornado come in the evening hours on a Sunday. This is Friday. Everyone's heading home. And where the biggest populace is here in Dallas and Fort Worth and the counties surrounding us, haven't seen anything really too bad yet, but
good.
West of Fort Worth, it's starting to ramp up, and that's all moving east. It should clear Central Expressway and Interstate 45 here sometime after about 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And then spread into East Texas. So get home and kind of stay home, let things pass, and then we might dodge a bullet with no tornado warnings. But again, we got till 9 o'clock in the damaged, or at least the prone areas.
I know you got to run, but is there a part of DFW that's most at risk or you most need to have your eyes peeled, or could it just break out anywhere?
It can break out anywhere. As again, we just got that new warning around Granbury and Cleburne right now, down 377 and heading towards 35W south of Fort Worth. But again, it's getting ready to break loose in Denton right now. And downtown Fort Worth, it's more of a thin line. It'll come through pretty quickly. But anywhere in our listening area has the threat for large hail, damaging winds, and an isolated tornado at least through 9 o'clock. But again, after that time frame, at probably 8, we start to see the worst of it press east of Central Expressway and 45. And of course, the Mavs games tonight, I hear they open the doors early.
Yeah.
Just to get people in there into a safer shelter. And again, big game tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I got my DVR set. So.
Right on, Dan.
For sure.
Love Appreciate you. Thanks for the update. Have fun down there. You can get more from Dan Brunoff and continuing storm coverage on our sister station, News Radio 1080 KRLD. And yeah, the Mavs doors are going to open at 6:30 with a tip-off on that bad boy at about 8:45.
This is like, we didn't get this year. That's like playoff football for Dan. That's like the Cowboys making the playoffs right now.
Oh, yeah. It's great times.
Yeah, he's fired up.
Yeah, they get to, you know. Hit the big ratings.
This is very random, but I just found this out because I'm behind on real life news. Did you guys know that Meghan Markle and Prince Harry left the royal family?
How do you even do that?
I don't know. They kind of said we bail.
She's back in Canada, right?
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
They just were
coming to America memes all over the internet right now.
They said, no, we're good. We don't want to be part of this anymore.
Wow.
I'm trying to find my research, but I'm so far behind that I can't find like the very basic, hey, how come?
Me either.
I can't. Me either.
Everybody's celebrating too much, and everybody's getting their jokes off, but not giving me the real facts and information.
Right. What happened? Why? What are we doing? What does this even mean?
Maybe she's just a real drama queen.
Oh, come on.
Is that an example?
She'd be a joke. Drama princess,
oh,
right?
Oh, she's just a princess.
Dallas, get ready. One night only.
They quit.
Gavin Dawson coming to the stage.
Yeah, Mike and I, we got our show planned.
Yep.
It's going to be made. You know, we just have to continue to write down gold jokes like that when they happen. And then build a routine.
When they
out of
happen.
It. Well, yeah, we just have to build up to the great jokes.
Tickets, you know? On sale now.
Yeah.
Somebody let me know what happened.
The G-Bag comedy tour.
How come Harry and Meghan left the royal family?
They've been doing their own thing. Like, even that was a non-traditional pairing, wasn't it? He kind of went off on and did his own thing. Like, I'm going to wrangle this gal. She's not even that royal.
I guess.
Boom, she is now in your face.
So then were the tabloids like mean to them? And they were like, you know what? That's it!
Oh, all the time, they've been mean.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been like critiquing everything she does.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. They're just not being too royal, I guess. Look at me. I'm freestyling right now. I'm freestyling because I don't know.
Oh, they, like living a life, like and actually doing what they wanted? Yeah. And like this out loud?
The millennial royalty.
Oh, tough break.
They're like, this is such a beatdown. Jeez, do you see what they're saying about us on Twitter? Let's go. Jeez.
Mm.
You know?
Twitter will tell me.
The tradition, all of the stuffiness, that doesn't matter to millennials. History and tradition, get that out of here. I'm trying to be comfortable.
Is she not allowed to like show skin above her knee? Is that what goes on in the royal family?
Yeah, stuff like that will really jam you up.
Maybe
okay,
this guy knows.
On the line now is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Irvin. Insider calls brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. And here he is, the playmaker Michael Irvin with us on 105.3 The Fan. Good evening, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you guys doing? We got it down. We got it down. Now let's see how it rolls.
Yeah, you know, we got a new coach. We're dodging the storms here on this side of town so far, the worst of it anyway. Are you in Dallas, and how you hanging in there?
No, I'm in L.A., actually, and the weather's absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible out here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. We got you good.
Go ahead, rub it in, Mike. Go ahead, rub it in. What is it, about 68 degrees, sunny?
Yeah, it's about 70 degrees. Yeah, nice and sunny. You know, I just got out of meetings going over the stuff for the show tomorrow and studying and going over film. So looking forward to it. And let me tell you something.
Yeah.
It hurts not to at least be around this kind of conversation, not playing while teams getting ready to go into the second round of the playoffs. And the Cowboys, if they had been in the playoffs, they could have beaten Seattle and at least gotten to this next round and gave themselves a chance. But I'm going to let all that hope from last year go and start looking on the hopes of next year.
Okay, so do they have enough good players that McCarthy can step in and get this team back into that kind of conversation next year?
Yeah, they got enough good players, you know, but it's not just to have physical skill set, shoulders down, physical talent. You got to have a way that you play the game shoulders up, the way that you see the game, how smart football that you play. And you got to have, right in the center mass, you got to have heart for it. You got to want it. You got to want it badly. And I mean, now can Mike McCarthy help them find that thing that reaches down in them and makes them want it badly enough that they play better and play hard all the time would be another thing. I thought the Cowboys needed a motivator. Like, and you guys watch it. I watched that Matt Rhule. Not that I wanted them to hire Matt Rhule, but I thought that was a motivating press conference. But Mike McCarthy, I think, was a solid hire, and I like the things he said in his press conference about learning during his year off and really studying and really breaking down some of the things that he can do better.
So, Mike, you have a unique perspective because you've known Jason Garrett for so long, and I would assume you guys are friends, but I can tell you that most of the Cowboys fan base just thought he wasn't good enough at the job of head coach, and I think we in this room agreed with that. So how much different is it for you, though, having that relationship with him? Like, do you think that Jason Garrett still could have or should have done this job?
No. I think it was the decision was now. You know, and the decision was made. I think it was the right decision to go in a different direction to give now a different voice in that locker room. And I think they needed that different voice. You know, Coach Garrett has some guys that he's been with a long time that get some things, Jason Witten and all of these guys, Sean Lee, that have been around a long time. And sometimes it's hard to move on from those guys that you're so attached to. Not that he was trying to move on from Witten, But but it would have been probably shrewd of him to make more, get the more use out of Blake Jarwin, because that was going to be your future. If you were going to have a future here and all of those kinds of things. But I think that was the right decision to move on for another head coach.
Michael, when you talk about that wanting it and the leadership, who would you say are maybe three or four guys on that team that you know are going to be back on the team next year that need to step up in that way and demand greatness or get off my team?
And guys, you understand too. That's exactly what you just said. You need just a nucleus, just three or four good guys that says exactly that. This is how we're doing it, buddy. And if you can't come and do it this way in practice and in games, we can be friends. We just can't be teammates. We just can't be teammates. And who are those guys, man? What you would ultimately like it to be? You like it to be Dak? You like it to be Zeke? You like it to be DeMarcus Lawrence, guys like that, Jalen Smith, Vander Esch, guys like that, the young guys. You don't really need that to be Jason Witten, Sean Lee, and all of those guys, because they're on the tip end on their way out. To make it something that'll last for a while, you want those young guys to take a hold of it, along with that offensive line, and say, this is the way we're doing things. And I don't know, I just need Mike McCarthy to give that to them, that they take some kind of pride and they have some kind of reverence about what they do each and every week, because I do think they have all the physical talent they need.
Michael, when Bill Parcells was brought in, he didn't really have any connection to the Dallas Cowboys, as in when Dave Campo took over as coach or Jason Garrett took over as coach. They didn't need to bring in some of their own guys to establish what is expected of my team in practice and my team in games. Do you think Mike McCarthy needs to bring in a couple of his guys so that they can help out with how he wants to run things?
So will Randall Cobb get a chance to stay now? Does he give more leeway to keeping guys like that? And that's what coaches usually like to do. That's what they like to bring in some guys so they can get some of their voice in the locker room. And that's a smart thing to do. You know, and I want Mike to bring in some different things to remove the staleness that I thought had landed over the Dallas Cowboys. But by the same token, I tell you where I'm concerned. Dak Prescott had his best year numbers-wise from a quarterback position. So there's a lot that he's picked up this year in this system. So I would like to see them have some kind of amalgamation of the offense that Mike wants to run, but also amalgamize it with the offense that Dak has been running, so he can, as he learn the new things, he still have kinship with the old things and continue to perform well. Look at how Aaron Rodgers, I mean, they're winning because he's just phenomenal and they won in other ways, but it's a whole new offense for him, and he'll tell you he hasn't had the year that he wanted to have because he's learning a lot of new things with that offense.
I'm wondering your thoughts on this Carson Wentz story. The NFL's lead doctor called him heroic for taking himself out of the game with a concussion. I guess things have changed a ton since your playing days in this regard. Michael, do you look at that as heroic, taking yourself out of the game with a concussion that wasn't clear on camera?
Everybody's different here, and I know what we like to do. We want worries. That's why football gets garnered the attention that it garners, because we are put in a kinship and a liking to the gladiators in arena, fighting till the end, doing whatever you have to do. And that's been the projected way we want to see our football players. So I get back and I know me, I wouldn't have said anything. I would have played in that game. I'm a big MMA fan, and I see dudes wobbling all the time and still come back and get a knockout. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I'm saying, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I watch it all the time. Dude, I say, why they don't get on these guys about a concussion protocol? What's going on right here? You know? Dude be wobbling. You know he's halfway out. Bell rings. He gets himself again. He comes back and knocks the other guy out. So I would have had stuff like that in my head, and I would have gone back in the game. But I cannot talk against the man for saying you know, I don't know how well he can rationalize, but he obviously rationalized well enough to know to say, maybe I better get some help. I'm not going to take this band of people I got right here to the Super Bowl anyway, so there's no use of me risking my brain in this situation.
That might be, yeah, that's good. That's the best point I've heard on that all day.
Right. If I had Deshaun Jackson out here with Alshon Jeffrey and everybody's still here, maybe I'll put my brain on the table and say, go ahead and roll them dice. But I ain't got here. Hey, listen, I'm working with my four team here. I'm not giving up my first brain working with my four team. I'm just not doing that.
All right, great stuff. Enjoy your weekend. Go ahead, Mike.
Mike, last question just for this weekend. What team is going on the road that will win this week?
I got all four home teams winning, but I tell you what, I give you the order. I think Tennessee has a great chance in Baltimore, especially if Mark Jackson isn't what Mark Jackson needs to be. Mark Jackson, I think, makes it go. Mark Jackson hits those creases so hard that when you start folding in on those creases, that's when hits those creases so hard that when you start folding in, that's when Lamar Jackson gets outside and hurts you on the outside. So, without him, things will change. And, dude, listen, man, listen. I'm not calling him Derrick Henry anymore. This dude is a Motar. That's what he is. This is a Motar coming around the corner. You see that commercial where that dude half bike, half man, yeah. And the dude said, what are you doing? I'm gassing up. Well, what are you drinking? I'm drinking gas too. I mean, that's what Derrick Henry, he came around the right corner the other day, and that cornerback Jackson from New England, he ain't want no part of it. He said, oh, my God, I got to touch you because everybody looking. But I really don't want to hit you. I don't want to hit you. That dude, man, that's a beast, man. If they can go in and be physical with Baltimore, they got a shot at winning that game.
Thank you, sir. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, dude, I'm looking forward to it, man. We had some good football last weekend. I'm looking forward to some good football this weekend. And I'm looking forward to next year. Hopefully our Cowboys are in this good football stuff.
Sounds great. We'll catch up with you before too long. Thank you, sir. The playmaker Michael Irvin with us, brought to you by Radio.com. Radio.com sports NFL insider Michael Irvin. Insider calls brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans.
I liked how he started out. Can you believe we're not in this? And I'm like, yes, I can. We're never in this. Michael, the last time we were in this, you were 26 years old.
Oh, kind of got the feeling around week five. This would be the case. Man. Jeff, where are we going next?
Well, as we said goodbye to a triplet, who has the best triplets remaining in the playoffs? It's next.
Thank you, Lucius. Coming up at 6, we'll take a look at what is on 1053thefan.com. Here right now, Jeff has prepared a segment. He's going to execute it for us.
I did. I prepared it real well. Today we play a game called... I got it right that time. The divisional round features 8 teams, Mike. 8 teams will play. My question for you is, which one has the best set of triplets? Quarterback, running back, pass catcher. I will list your candidates. Baltimore Ravens, Lamb, sweet Lamb, Mark Ingram, or Mark Jackson, whatever you want to call him, and Mark Andrews is who they go with as the pass catcher, which, does that eliminate them already?
Somewhat, yes.
Quarterback's really good.
They took the OU, they took Brown, wasn't he a first-round pick this year? Yeah. So they just don't consider him their best pass catcher yet.
Mark Andrews has done most of the damage for their receiving core. So that's their triplets. The Green Bay Packers feature Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams. That's pretty stout.
I would give it to them so far.
Well, hold on. That's only 2.
I know.
6 more, Mike.
Let's see.
Who I thought would win it.
Yeah, they're in first place.
Has to be with a running back? It can't be wide receiver, tight end?
Well, you have to include the running back.
Okay.
That's one of my takeaways from this is it's Marshawn Lynch and Raheem Mostert and Carlos Hyde and Damian Williams and Mark Ingram, huh? Those are our running backs?
Hey, runner matters.
Houston. Running does matter. This just shows you the name of the running back doesn't matter. Neither does his salary. The Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, Carlos Hyde, and DeAndre Hopkins. Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Damian Williams, and they go with Travis Kelce.
Okay.
I could go with Tyreek Hill there, but you can go whichever way you like. The Minnesota Vikings, What's that,
Mike? I was thinking I'd love to where this study is where it changed, because it did change. I agree that the way Pollard ran, I'm not saying you would have had as good a year as Zeke. You know, it would have been a different year. But, like, I wonder what year that changed where you could say this is when the running back – That's probably when the person stopped mattering as much as it used to matter.
Probably the salary cap, I would think, when it became a detriment to building the rest of your team. The Minnesota Vikings feature Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, and they go with Stephon Diggs, but you have my blessing to go Adam Thielen if that's the route you'd like to go. San Francisco 49ers rocking Jimmy G. And then they go Tevin Coleman / Raheem Mostert, so you don't have to pick between the two.
Good. And that was going to be tough.
And I was George thinking about Kittle. That one.
Maybe. Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, and Tyler Lockett is the Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, the Tennessee Titans, Ryan Tannehill. By the way, some listeners hate that we overpronounce the E in Tannehill, but I think it's fun. Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and A.J. Brown. Who have the best triplets? The NFL.com guys voted, and I have my choice, I believe, in my head.
I would vote Green Bay, as Gavin said. If we have to include running back, I'll go Green Bay.
You can also weight it however you want. You can say the running back counts 1% if you want. Be like me. Be ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you know, I think Packers, I think Vikings, and then I would say Chiefs is my top three, even though they don't have much of a runner. I'm just going to go with future GOAT and the tight end there. That's my top three.
So I think I go Chiefs number one, even though the running back's name is Damian Williams, because you're taking maybe the best quarterback, and not even that, because their triplets isn't even a triplets, because I don't know who the receiver is. You could take Tyreek Hill, or you could take Travis Kelce. So I'm going Kansas City Chiefs. 877-881-1053 is the Autoflex Leasing fan text. Most of the votes we got on the fan text were Packers. So that seems to be the popular one, because at least all three of their guys are really good. Aaron Jones is really good.
Yeah, you could see all of them in an all-pro game or all-pro selections.
Send in your votes, and I'll tally them up and let you know who won. Now we move on to more important news. We have a police search happening right now.
Where at?
Well, it's in, I don't always check the location of these stories, Georgia. You're in the Georgia area and you're on the radio.com app and you're streaming the show, be on the lookout for a gentleman who broke into a Taco Bell.
Okay.
They were closed. It was late at night. He went in through the drive-thru window.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to suggest drugs right off the top. Or
now, what would make you think
or
that?
Booze. Drugs or booze. Because what he did is he broke in and he doesn't look homeless. Like, he's got on, you know, standard pants, nice tennis shoes, good looking hoodie, beanie, some headphones. He doesn't look like a homeless person.
I'm a big fan of the homeless guy who's pulling it off, right? You really got to pay attention and people watch him for a good 10 minutes or so to realize, oh, I see he's homeless.
Like, his hair is kind of done. He's got it done up top clean shaven looking. Like, if he's homeless, he's pulling it off the best ever. But so he breaks into the Taco Bell, goes through the drive-thru window, because who wouldn't? Do those not lock at night? Could I go in through there whenever I want?
Pretty sure those lock, although they never trusted me with it when I worked at KFC.
Oh, no, they don't trust you to lock the drive-thru window?
I never got to work the drive-thru or the cash register or cook. It was dishes only for me.
See, when I got to work at Sonic, I was only allowed to cook. I wasn't allowed to talk to customers. I wasn't allowed to do anything except stand in the back. And
I was below that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I wasn't qualified to cook, but they did let me until that fateful day.
How do they cook hot dogs there?
I don't remember.
Microwave?
Is it microwave? That's what I was wondering. Are their hot dogs microwaved, or do they put them on the grill?
I don't remember. I don't remember ever putting one on the grill. So
remember eating them? No, I bet.
I do remember eating them. My two rules were, if somebody orders mozzarella sticks, I drop an extra stick. If somebody orders a grilled cheese, I make an extra one.
Ooh.
If it was an item that I like, you make an extra one. Chicken tender, I'd make an extra one. But I got fired for deep frying a burger because we're about to close. And I had cleaned off the grill and shut it down. It was 11:59. A guy ordered a burger.
Yeah.
So I was like, see what happens. I dropped it in the fry thing.
With the bun?
No, just the patty.
Okay.
Yeah, I dropped
that
it.
That kind of sounds exciting.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
That was the best Sonic burger I've ever had. What happened?
Well, I don't know how it turned out, but I know that 20 minutes later when the guy came back and made us unlock the door so he could come in and scream at us. He said that his dog wouldn't eat it. And that
oh,
was,
really?
That was the end of my
so
run.
Probably that's a bad idea. Then.
Yeah, I guess.
Was the customer complaint for fast food got you canned? They must have been looking for a reason.
And I was eating a lot of stuff.
Jeff, we got one complaint, and it looks like you put on 14 pounds in 2 weeks.
Wasn't on time a lot. But anyway, the guy that broke into Taco Bell, he goes in, and apparently he's familiar with the fast food establishments himself because he used the fryers, made himself a nice meal at Taco Bell, and then when he was done, he laid down, curled up, and took a nap on the floor for about 3 hours.
Oh, so, that's drunk. Yeah.
God, maybe he is homeless. Maybe he is the most well-put-together homeless guy ever. Or maybe he was really drunk. My only problem with the guy is he also stole a laptop and a tablet. So I think that's probably why they're looking for him. I don't think you would really go in search of the guy who came in through the window, made a soft taco, and took a nap, would you?
Yeah, you're just a nuisance at that point. Just go.
Yeah,
just leave and we're good.
That seems like a waste of resources. And he did. He went right back out the drive-thru window and out into the night after he woke up from his nap. So if you guys want to Google up how he looks and be on the lookout if you're ever in Georgia this week. He's in Lawrenceville, Georgia, so
good
thoughts and prayers to all them.
Good to know. Sounds like the Taco Bell is highly accessible, too, if you're needing a place to crash.
Well, don't advise people to go try it. But
maybe a fryer?
People do let me know, please. 877-881-1053. Are most drive-through windows unlocked when they're closed? Is that a viable point of entry?
Good question.
Because this could be us doing a public service for the fast food places and getting them to up security a little bit.
Okay, if you've missed most of
the
show
today.
Can I give
you a quick update, guys? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know we're up against it.
I'm the Taco Bell guy?
No.
Oh, weather?
No, not that either, man. You know, we played a cussing pastor for G-Bag of the Day every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going through Instagram right here. My man has women's panties for sale.
No
with
way.
His face on it.
With
the cussing pastor has
good.
Women's panties for sale with his face on it.
Because at first I thought he went and stole some and had put them on eBay. Why like he was a panty burglar and a cussing pastor.
Cussing pastor selling women's panties with his face on it.
He's breaking all the boundaries, isn't he?
I thought you had a royal wedding update. Royal family.
And I think it's like the touch and feel type of thing because his beard is kind of growing where the crotch is.
No way.
It's crazy, fam.
Wow. I'm going to have to Google that. What's on 1053thefan.com? Wow, and it looks like Jeff's got quite a day of hating going on here from his studio. We'll ask him about that, and I'll tell you why I'm kind of hating as well next in the G-Bag Nation.